handle on the news.
Handle on the news!
And now, here's Bill Handel.
Morning, everybody. May 23rd. It is a Monday as we start the week. Bill Handel here. I'm getting the big wave from everybody. Wow, that's exciting. All right. Jennifer Jones Lee, good morning.
Morning. Hey, there's my wave.
Also, she just did an impression of a little bird with one hand.
That was just back at you from the greeting you gave the wake-up call listeners.
Yeah, it's true.
It was that was just my, us
just
back
my
at you.
General hi, good morning. Wayne, good morning.
Good morning, young man.
Alex.
Morning.
And Tyler.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. I want to talk about a charity event really quickly before we start the show. And it's an annual fish fry and carnival put on by the Lions Club. And it is a free event, and it helps a bunch of charities, including Children's Hospital of Orange County, Friday, June 3rd, Saturday, June 4th, Sunday, June 5th at Lions Park. And it's been around for 75 years. It's put on by this group. Not the Lions Park is where it's at. And it's a whole day, fish dinners, 3 days, carnival rides, games, rock and blues, bands, booths. I mean, all of it. 75 years they've been doing this. And it's great fun to help the charities. I'm going to be there. I don't know which day I'm going to be there, but you'll recognize me. I'll be the bald guy wearing a mask and wearing a $15 Costco Hawaiian shirt. So I'll be very easy to spot.
And possibly white socks and black shoes or mandals.
Yeah. And shorts. Yeah, that's it. That's me. So anyway, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, June 4th, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Lions Park. And you know, it's just neat. 75 years this group has been doing this. And fish fry. Okay, and that's fried fish.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay. There you are. And Tyler's shaking his head, that's early for you to shake your head. You know that, Tyler?
I've come to find it's never too early with you, Bill.
There we go. All right, guys. A lot going on today, as usual. The baby formula has arrived. As a matter of fact, Handle on the News with Jennifer, Wayne, and me. That's our lead story. Military airplane, the C-17, that massive cargo airplane, I don't know if that's the biggest plane, that or the Galaxy 5. I don't know which is the bigger plane. But anyway, we had talked about private aircraft. You remember with the contracts with the Department of Defense to bring infant formula over from Europe? No airplanes were available, so the president started using cargo planes, which I thought were going to be U.S. Air Force. And the first 78,000 pounds of formula has arrived. Bought it in Switzerland, flew it out, trucked it to Germany, and flew it out. I have no idea. Maybe there's an airport not big enough for the C-17 in Switzerland. No idea. But anyway, it arrived in Indianapolis, and that's the very first start. And you know how usually ridiculous the names of various operations are? You know, Operation, we're going to fly higher than anybody else, Desert Storm, Desert Flyby, whatever the hell they were. This is Operation Fly Formula. Mm. Okay, how is that for a clever name?
Now, I heard a rumor, Bill, that there's something interesting about this load of baby formula. And I heard a rumor, separate rumor, that at 7:20, you are going to explain what that is.
Oh, yes, I will. And there is a lot to it also. It's a special kind of formula. It's not going to stores. I'll explain all that. It's still going to not be in stores for weeks for those people that are buying regular formula. I'll explain the whole thing to you. There's a lot. And it's really unfortunate. A lot of moving pieces.
Well, President Biden has announced 12 countries have now signed on to a new trade pact. He says this new Indo-Pacific economic framework will help the U.S. more closely with Asian economies to improve supply chains, digital trade, clean energy, and anti-corruption efforts.
The United States is deeply invested in the Indo-Pacific. We're committed for the long haul.
Now, the pact does not include Taiwan, which is a major supplier of computer chips. And I think we can't go on without talking about Taiwan and the fact that the president also said that the U.S. would get involved militarily should China try and take on Taiwan. He was asked by this reporter while he was in Japan if the U.S. would get involved with the military in defending the island nation.
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made. That's the commitment we made.
Now, of course, Biden's comments drew a sharp response from the mainland. Yet a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson who said, don't underestimate the resolve for China to protect its territorial integrity. China has claimed Taiwan is a rogue province.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. Complete gaffe. Took the senior advisors by storm. I mean, just flipped them out. Well, they didn't know.
Isn't this like the third time, though, that he's made some comment about defending Taiwan?
Yes.
And then his staff has had to go, no, what he actually meant.
Yeah,
I mean, the clarification.
Well, I mean, look at the difference. Ukraine, which is under bombardment, a real humanitarian issue going on. The United States will not get involved militarily other than ship arms and invoke the sanctions. Taiwan, which also is not part of any treaty, we're going to protect them, like the Article 5 of NATO. The president said, "Yeah, we're going to go to war. We're going to defend Taiwan."
Did he just not understand that what he was asked was direct U.S. military presence in Taiwan, and he thought it was more general support military support,
like
what we're doing with Ukraine?
I don't
Ukraine.
Know.
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
Yeah, but I need to hear the question.
Okay, so the question was from this reporter. It was a CBS reporter who said, would the U.S. get involved militarily in defending the island nation from an attack?
Now, you could say that is too broad. When you think we're doing the same thing with Ukraine, quote, militarily supplying military arms.
That's what I wonder if
that's
what
the way
meant.
They're going to come back. That's how they're going to spin it.
It's perfectly legitimate that that's what he meant.
But took everybody
so
for
everybody,
a loop.
Everybody's freaking out over a question that wasn't worded specifically enough to warrant this freak out.
Except you know what he was actually saying. It was a gaffe.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. We'll be back. This is where you're wrong and I'm right.
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky made a virtual speech on the first day of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where he urged the world to impose the maximum sanctions on Russia. He wants a complete oil embargo. He wants every single bank blocked. He wants all trade with Russia completely cut off. That's getting into cutting off our noses to spite our face, globally speaking. These are the things that we have not had an appetite to do because of the level of harm it brings on ourselves.
Right. Have you noticed what's missing in his statements? What's
military soldiers, right. Soldiers boots on the ground.
Boots
in Ukraine
on the ground from everybody. The no-fly zone. Mm-hmm. Asking for additional arms because they're coming in like crazy. And he is asking for, in many cases, straight-out money, saying that it's costing Ukraine $5 billion a month. And so, you know, for example, the European Union has offered almost $20 billion. That's 4 months. We have offered $40 billion. That's 8 months. So as this thing goes on, and it becomes back burner stuff because you get fatigue. You know, the news cycle goes on. There's new news coming up. So for Ukraine, this has to end very quickly in order for them to get out of it. If it keeps on going and going, and Russia can keep on going and just throw arms and people or soldiers at it, and they haven't yet mobilized like countries do during full wars. Ukraine doesn't have the ability to mobilize the way Russia does, and Putin is actually it's interesting how Putin has not gone balls to the wall on this.
Would you care to speculate on why? Assuming he can, I'm not so sure he can. But assuming he can, would you want to speculate as to why he's not?
Yeah, I think if he does, it may trigger a war with the Western allies, the United States. If and it's because he's willing to do it, and it's going to scare Finland and Sweden and Moldova and other countries, Lithuania, Estonia, that are in that area, and they are now going to mobilize, saying we've got a real problem here. It's not just Ukraine. It's the rest of us. Let's move on. We'll talk about that later. We can spend 20 minutes on that alone.
All right. Pfizer now says three small doses of its COVID-19 vaccine protect kids under five. This all came out overnight. The drug maker says it plans to give the data to U.S. regulators this week. And it's 18 million kids right now under five who are the only group in the U.S. not yet eligible for the COVID-19 vaccination.
Well, this is 80% effective. So people going, it's still, that's not as effective as we want it. Yes, it is, because maybe 80% effective in terms of getting COVID, only 80%. But the hospitalizations and deaths drop dramatically. And I'll talk more about that a little bit later on. There's a lot to this, unfortunately. And people just don't want to vaccinate, particularly their kids. Which I would think kids particularly you'd want to vaccinate.
Oh, parents, a lot of parents that I have spoken with are happy to get the vaccine themselves, but they're real hesitant to give it to their little ones.
Right, thinking that kids don't get COVID. Remember the whole situation, kids are immune?
Not even that, but they're just, I think they're still super concerned about, there's just not enough data out there. They don't feel comfortable enough with it. It's not like giving a kid a flu shot or something like that that's been going on for a bazillion years. This is so brand new for a lot of parents, especially new parents who are so protective of their babies.
And I understand. Any particular time zone you're talking about?
What do you mean?
A year? In terms of, I'm not time zone, but in terms of...
Age?
Yeah, age. At what point is it going to be deemed safe? A year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
I don't know.
But you'll know it when you see it.
Well, that's the argument that I've heard from some parents is that, I'm not comfortable giving it to my little one.
Well, I'm going to do a story at 8 o'clock. And it's going to say a lot about where we are in terms of part of it is a lot of people have just left it behind and it's not that important anymore. It's fatigue.
COVID.
Oh, yeah. It's among other things.
Man, this is when I really appreciate how KFI News handles things, because this stupid story, LA County hospitalizations reach highest number since March. Time to panic. No, they're up a little bit. It's statistically insignificant. The number of people in intensive care actually went down a little bit. So there's no surge of hospitalizations. And the rest of the media with their little bean counting, there were three more cases today than yesterday. This is not something that anybody needs to, I would argue, it's not even something anybody needs to know, quite candidly.
Well, how many
people? But there it is in the stack, so I said it.
How many people in LA County? What?
Below 400 in the hospital.
Right. And we have how many people?
10 million?
And you know what's interesting? Also, I read this stat that said many people who found out they had COVID-19, that they were infected with it, were tested at the hospital. So they went in for something else and then just randomly found out they had COVID.
Thank you, Jen, because that's the other part of this. This is not the number of COVID cases that needed to go to the hospital. This is the number of people who happened to be in the hospital who also tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, and those people who are asymptomatic, the same thing happened to me. My trainer tested positive because she was with a bunch of people and just did it prophylactically. And so she tested positive. Therefore, I've been around her and I had to test and I was negative. So I could have been positive. Okay, big deal. Which means around here, because we're so careful, I get to go home. Ooh, I tested positive.
No, you did not.
Oh, okay.
No, you didn't.
I know. It's 5 days vacation.
No, it's not.
No, it's not anymore. Not anymore. To the point where if you test positive and you're still asymptomatic, or if you're asymptomatic, if you test positive, you're asymptomatic, they still let you go to work.
Hey, Jen, can we finish? You have some actual, this is a useful piece of information you have.
LA County residents who want to vote by mail have to register by today to get their ballots for the June 7th primary. So you can register online at registertovote.ca.gov. Registertovote.ca.gov. Vote by mail ballots will be sent out in time to cast a vote in the primary election as long as you register by today, the deadline.
And that's only the vote by mail. You can still vote all the way through the day of the vote. Even if you're not registered, I think you can walk in, register to vote, and vote voting day on June 7th. They've made it really, really easy to vote.
Police are hoping some new video that's up on social media can help them solve a fatal shooting at an unsanctioned party at a hookah lounge in San Bernardino. They say about over 100 people gathered at this lounge. They say it was an unpermitted party, and one person was killed. Eight others were wounded in that shooting, which apparently did start as an argument between some people.
Well, I mean, if they've got the video, that's the best chance they can have. All right, here's why. The guy who ran on stage at the Hollywood Bowl and attacked Dave Chappelle says he did what he did. So the 23-year-old says that he was triggered by some of the, I guess, the homeless and also some of the transgender jokes that Dave Chappelle was saying. He also said in there that maybe Dave Chappelle should run some of his jokes by people before he used them. To which I say, sir, you don't know how comedy works. That's not, you don't go to every group that you're about to make fun of or do a joke about or whatever and go, might this offend you? That's just not the way that it works.
Yeah, who is every group?
Well, that's
which person?
Every single person that Dave Chappelle or any comedian now, by this guy's line of thinking, are they supposed to go to every person and or group and ask if that person might be offended by what they say?
And what if that person's still in the closet? Do you open the closet door?
Well, I feel like that's a whole nother can of worms.
My guess is this defense isn't going to fly very far.
Yeah.
Oh, parents are shocked because down there at Aliso Niguel High School, some kid thought it would be funny to make his prom imitation a joke about George Floyd with the old... going, if you go to the prom with me, it would take my breath away with a picture of George Floyd.
You know, I don't know why this makes news. One kid being an ass, and somehow it becomes news. Where, can't you find one kid in every school district who has said something stupid, something racist, something over the top, but it becomes news if you find one kid? Now, if they're a group... If it's an entire football team or basketball team or an entire classroom, I get it. That's newsworthy. But, you know, it's. And then what happens now if you have a copycat who decides next week to do the same thing? Whoa, here's the news.
It's already a copycat.
Yeah, because it was already done.
This is like, oh, this is old, stale shtick.
And people do it because it's going to make the news?
It's equal. Well, this dumb kid, whoever this kid is stupid.
Right. That's not my point. It's news.
As well as insensitive. But to me, even more perhaps telling is I don't think this kid has any kind of future because he or she is about as dumb and uncreative as they come. Okay. And if anything, this whoever made that should be, the whole story should be dummy makes a dumbass joke and is not going to amount to anything.
Yeah.
Here's the next story. And I go ahead, and then I want to make a comment on this.
All right. Authorities say this truck displaying anti-Semitic messages in West Hollywood is a hate incident, and the display has been condemned by activists and West Hollywood city officials. Videos on social media show this rental box truck parked at a gas station on Saturday, and it had anti-Semitic phrases on it like Jewish lives matters most, resisting the great replacement, a racist philosophy promoted by white nationalists.
Yeah, here's another one. One truck someone rents that has anti-Semitic statements on it. All right. There's news. I didn't make the national news last night. I must tell you that bringing in the baby formula was actually the lead story. This would have been story number two, right? By the way, I'm not talking, I'm not denigrating the seriousness of this. I'm just saying you bring it to the level where you've got, so therefore someone's listening to this. Okay, so a few days from now, you're going to have one more. You spray paint the truck. You know, you bring the driver out, you beat him to a pulp, you take baseball bats and knock his head off. There are ways of dealing with this. Maybe that goes a little too far.
You're saying that those multiple felonies in lieu of reporting it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, I have always had this push and pull in me in my 30-year career in news of doing a story about some, jerk who rents a truck and does it because I'm giving them publicity.
Right.
I hate that part
so
of this
job.
So why
do we do it? At least we don't have a name, okay? But it's being reported on. Oh, boy, I made the news.
That's just it. I'm the guy who rented the truck. Did you see I made the news? I'm the guy who did the, stale George Floyd thing. Right. I made the news.
Well, you know how excited I was during my early surrogacy days when I was quoted by Time magazine.
You made the news.
Yeah, it said, others have said, and then my quote.
Oh.
Do you have any idea how excited I was saying, that's me? That's me.
San Diego wants to be the first city in California to successfully get rid of, or at least get invalidated, Prop 209. That proposition says that you cannot discriminate in the awarding of contracts based on race or gender, et cetera. What is their motivation for wanting to be able to discriminate in the awarding of contracts? It is because they commissioned a report that looked at a 5-year period, and in San Diego, businesses owned by white women and minorities only got 19% of the city contracts. The study said if it had been fair, it would have been 31%.
Yeah.
So I would say first look at why your numbers are so low in the first place. You're talking about we want to get rid of a thing that prevents discrimination because you guys were discriminating. You were discriminating against women and minority-owned businesses, and so now what you want is for Prop 209 to go away so you can fix it by saying we will only give these contracts to women or minority-owned businesses?
Yeah, there's a question. Let's get practical for a moment. So you have X percentage of women businesses that did not get contracts because of the disparity. So therefore, you have to bring it up. All right, let's choose that contractor. You must contract with a minority group. And you must contract. And you can't pay attention to an only white or predominantly white business. Until we get rid of the disparity. All right, which business gets involved in that one, huh?
They're also wrong about Prop 209. It does not 100% forbid consideration of these factors. It says it has to be narrowly targeted and serve an important purpose. So why don't they just say we have not done a good job of appropriately awarding contracts to these kinds of businesses? It is an important governmental goal to have proper diversity in these things. Therefore, we are going to find a way to allow some consideration of these factors.
Oh, it's already there.
And we say we're still complying with 209.
Okay, it's already there. Programs are already
there. They already have the tools they need.
Yeah.
And I think that what they want is they don't want to have to think. They want to be able to simply set quotas and be done with it.
Right. So let me tell you the answer. There's a friend of mine, a very dear friend, who actually works with women's group, minority businesses, and applies for, in this case, private businesses, too, to get some kind of a contract. So you know what the government does? Subsidizes the business who hire them to a small extent. You want to do it? And you want to hire a minority, you get a break in taxes, and even that's discriminatory, but at least it is less so and it's a more practical measure. There's already a program in there. What more do you want to do? Force a business to hire a minority contractor? Or what? You lose your license to do that business? You cannot any longer open your doors if you do not hire a minority business? to contract with. So anyway, you're absolutely right. It's illegal. You can't have quota systems.
They want to fight it so they can be allowed to have quota. And there are other ways to be properly diverse without this.
Yeah, let's move on.
Well, here was a way to be improperly diverse. According to this accusation against Wells Fargo, there's a guy who's a former executive in the wealth management division at Wells Fargo's corporate offices in Florida, and he told the New York Times that the company held fake job interviews for minority candidates for positions that had already been filled. He says he was fired late last summer after telling his superiors that the interviews were inappropriate and ethically and morally wrong. So they'd get these minority candidates in to fill a diversity, I guess, quota for the sense of we interviewed X white people and we interviewed the same number of X minority people, but somebody already would have had that position. And so all they were doing was trying to show that they had maintained the number of people they needed to of minorities for these interviews.
You know, Wells Fargo is on its way to becoming a verb for bank fraud.
And yet
you
I'm
have,
still
well,
with
you
them.
You have Wells Fargo'd the situation.
And yet I do story after story on Wells Fargo. Tell me why I'm still with that bank. Because I'm lazy?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah.
Because whatever, it hasn't happened to me, so move on.
Yeah, because you don't work for them, and they do maybe a good job banking, and they're no longer setting up 23 accounts that you don't know about.
I don't know. I mean, it's just the more stories I do about this, I think to myself, I'm an idiot. What am I doing?
Oh, okay. I don't know that this is a big surprise, but the Southern Baptist Convention, that is the largest Protestant denomination in the United States, has a big, almost 300-page investigative report that says they covered up and stonewalled for the issue of clergy sex abuse.
Of course they did.
All the same stuff that we've known for a while about the Catholic Church is apparently true here. The only difference, and I don't know that it is a relevant difference, is this Southern Baptist Convention does not have a top-down hierarchy like with Catholics. We have a pope, and then you have, what, cardinals? It's more of like a Congress, if you will. I don't think that gets them off the hook at all, that there was no central authority who should have specifically been dealing with this. And it was all about, just like with the everything was done and all decisions were made to try to limit liability.
Right. You're right. It doesn't matter. You can have a top down where you have the capo di tutti, you have the capos. I'm talking about the Catholic Church. And then you, it doesn't matter. Whatever religion's out there. It's there, and they're there to hide the misdeeds of the hierarchy. Unfortunately, welcome to society.
Can we skip to number 15? Because the Reading Rodeo is near and dear to my heart.
Sure.
When I was three, my parents put me over the edge, and I chased pigs and got run over by the pigs and the people. When I was 17, I sang the national anthem at the Reading Rodeo on a horse. All three nights. Thank you very much. And then this happened at the Reading Rodeo this weekend, Wayne.
A bull jumped a fence, got out of the arena, and hurt a few people. That's what happened. Six people injured when this bull got away. They did eventually catch the bull and put him on a truck and send him back to his condo. I don't know where he lives.
Bull condos in Reading.
I know. I'm reading the story. The bull ended up on top of someone and won the people riding contest.
Yeah.
You know, good for it then. But scary stuff, but yet so Reading.
Yeah,
it just makes me happy.
Coming up, Alex Stone, prop or Title 42 was set to expire today. A lot going on. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.